John chapter number 8, would you stand to your feet this morning in honor of the reading of God's Word? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I thank God for His atoning blood and for His cleansing, saving blood. John chapter number 8, I want to begin reading in verse 21. We're going to read four verses this morning. And we're going to find in these four verses a phrase that is repeated three times, and I want to preach on that phrase this morning. It says, "Then said Jesus again unto them," the Pharisees that is, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." I want you to think about that. You did hear what he said, right? You shall die in your sins. This is a sobering thought I want to preach on this morning to the best of my ability. You shall die in your sins. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, this book is a living book. God, it gives us comfort when we need it, encouragement when we need it. But God, when we most need it, it pricks our hearts and it cuts us like a two-edged sword. Now, Lord, I pray that you would wield the sword this morning and cut our hearts. Lord, I pray that we'd listen. God, I pray for a holy hush about this place. Lord, I pray, God, if there's one here today that's not saved, Lord, I ask, God, that you'd please convict them. Lord, we cannot come unto you unless you draw. The Holy Spirit moves, and Lord, I ask for a moving. Lord, I pray that sinners would respond if there's one here not saved. Lord, I pray for those that are saved. God, would you put a burden on our hearts for the lost? Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning on perhaps the most sobering phrase in all of Scripture, in my opinion. Ye shall die in your sins. I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I come across these words cannot be read without a pause afterward. These words refuse to allow themselves to be read flippantly or passively. This is a phrase with so much weight and so much significance that you can't help but read it with a sense of importance. Ye shall die in your sins. These words, this phrase, demands of us our utmost attention and reflection in our lives. Ye shall die in your sins. Only an utter fool would not ponder life and death and heaven and hell after reading these words. These words cry out to us. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon talked about how wisdom crieth out in the streets waiting for someone to listen. These words cry out in the streets. When you read them, they beg you to examine yourself. These words call us to search and find out if we're truly saved or not, if we're truly of God or not, because if you're not, ye shall die in your sins. If you're not saved today, if you know that you are not born again, if you're not a friend of God, these words ought to make your heart sink within your chest. They ought to make a lump rise up within your throat. If you do not believe on Christ, ye shall die in your sins. If you are saved today, these words ought to be laid upon you as a great weight that you cannot remove. These words ought to burden you for the lost like nothing else. While you have been busy this week running away from God's will and dabbling in sin and piddling around with useless things, there are souls all around you that are dying in their sins. And these words cry out to you to do something about them. These words cry out and say, who will go and tell the lost of Christ and his cross? Because all around us, every second of the day, there are people that are dying in their sins. You may not like it, but that doesn't change it. You shall die in your sins. I want to preach to you three simple thoughts concerning these words today. Ye shall die in your sins. Number one, I want to point out to you today simply the utter hopelessness of these words. This phrase is utterly hopeless. If you die in your sins, if you today were to die without Christ in your sins, I want you to know that is the most hopeless thing that you could ever experience. There is hope today while you're breathing. You may not have accepted Christ for 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years of your life, but if you're alive today, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Seek me while I may be found. But if you were to leave here today and die in your sins, that is the only time when there is absolutely, utterly no hope without God. Christ was speaking these words to a group of prideful, unbelieving Pharisees that were anxious to kill him. In fact, in John chapter number 8, where we're reading these verses, this may well be the most heated debate between Christ and the Pharisees during his earthly ministry. They had many times where they argued with Christ, and they tried to contradict him, and he would debate with them. And I believe this chapter may be the most heated of all of these debates. The topic of the debate in John chapter number 8 was simply this: is Christ who he says he is, and can he do what he says he can do? That's what the debate was all about in John chapter number 8. They wanted to know, is Christ truly the Son of God as he says? Is he the sent one from God as he says? Is he the Messiah? Is he the anointed one? Can he really save? Can he really forgive of sins? Can he really give eternal life? They were debating him. They wanted to know, are you truly who you say you are, and can you truly do what you say you can do? Friend, I really want you to know there is only one question that really matters in this life, and it is this: is Christ who he said that he was, and can he do what he said he can do? Because if it's true, that changes everything, and if it's false, then this life means nothing. The Pharisees, they believed simply that Christ's record was not true. They believed he was not who he said he was, and he could not do what he said he could do. Look in John 8 and verse number 13. They said, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. They believed that he was not true, and Christ claimed that his record was true. Look in verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. So is it Christ's word or is it their word? Who wins the debate? Friend, I want you to know that the debate was won before the debate had ever begun. Friend, I want you to know they were sitting there debating Christ and trying to call him out for lying and for giving false record. And I want you to know there had already been given many infallible proofs that showed that he was already who he said he was, and he could clearly do what he said he could do. Friend, I know that today we do not see the miracles of Christ or see Christ in the flesh, but they there saw him literally and heard him physically and saw the things that were done in his life. They were debating him on something that they had no business debating him about, because there was ample evidence that he was the Christ of the living God, the Messiah. They said, "Christ, you bear record of yourself. No one else is bearing record of you." But that was simply false. In John chapter number 5, Jesus told them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Christ did not bear record of himself only, but the Scriptures had already bore record of him. And if they would have only accepted and searched and believed the Bible, then they would have realized that Christ was exactly who he said that he was. If they would have only searched the Scriptures, there would have been no need for this debate. If they would have only remembered the testimony of John the Baptist, there would have been no need for this debate. You remember? A few years before Christ ever came on the scene, there was a man by the name of John the Baptist, and he was an accepted and a beloved prophet of God in the nation of Israel. They knew that all those things that he said about Christ were true, and it says that all they from Judea and the uttermost parts of the region came to hear the preaching of John the Baptist, and he is the one who saw Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." If they would have only remembered what John said, there would have been no debate. Had they not heard the testimony of the shepherds, the angels that had appeared unto them? Had they not heard the testimony of Mary and Joseph? Had they not heard the testimony of the wise kings that came from afar and the star that God put in the sky for the birth of his son? Had they not heard the testimony of Simon the prophet in the temple when Christ was brought as a baby and he said, "Mine eyes have seen salvation"? If they would have only remembered, there would have been no need for debate. Had they not remembered the testimony of God the Father himself when Christ was baptized and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove? There would have been no need for this debate if they would have only remembered. There was so much that testified that Christ was who he said he was. Had they not seen the deaf made to hear? Had they not seen the mute made to talk? Had they not seen the blind made to see, or the lame made to walk, or the diseased made whole, or the demon-possessed made free? Had they not seen the dead brought back to life? Had they not heard the testimony of Jairus' daughter? Had they not heard the testimony of Lazarus, who was raised on the fourth day? Had they not seen the funerals that were interrupted by a resurrection from Christ? What am I getting at? They did not need more proof. They did not need more debate. They needed to repent of their sins and believe on Jesus Christ. But the simple fact of the matter is, in John chapter 5, they are debating with him when instead they need to be believing. And the only reason why they didn't is because they chose not to. It was not for the lack of evidence. It was because they loved darkness rather than light. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a Christ-rejecting world, and it's not for lack of evidence. It is because people do not want to leave their pride and their sins and accept Jesus Christ for who he says that he is. You want to know about Christ? Search the Scriptures. Search history. Pray and seek, and you shall find. But friend, there are so many that have debated their way right into hell. Debated with God until the very last moment. I've known men that have debated with God for years and have chosen not to believe in him. Not because there's not compelling proofs, but because they just don't want to. Jesus was speaking to those men. And what he finally got at is this. He said, "You are not rejecting me for the absence of proof, but the presence of pride. And you are on a slippery road. And if you do not do something to change your course, ye shall die in your sins." He's trying to wake them up. He's trying to wake them up to their destination. Look in verse 21. He said, "I go my way." He said, "Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." He wasn't saying this, saying that you want to be saved and I'm going to bar you from it. He was saying this to people that he had presented himself to again and again and again, and they would not believe. He wasn't telling them the judgment on them, but the consequence of their unbelief. Some of you are so hard against the gospel, you're going to die in your sins. Not because God wants you to, but because you want to. You hear me? You will die in your sins. You're listening on the radio today. You're going to die in your sins. If you keep on rejecting Christ, if you keep on going down the road of pride that you're going through, Jesus was saying, "I'm here looking at you. Salvation is standing in front of you, but there's coming a day when I'm leaving and going back to the Father, and your time will be done, and you'll seek me, but it'll be too late." Isaiah 55 said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near." He's trying to tell them that there was coming very soon a day where they would be without hope, when they would die in their sins. Folks, I want you to know today that when you go to the grave, it will be too late. There is no hope for you in the grave. To die in your sins is to truly cross the point of no return. If you were to die in your sins today, it would be too late to rethink Christ. It would be too late to repent. Too late to call out to God. Too late to come to church again. Then you will only experience God's wrath, God's condemnation, God's judgment, and the door of salvation will be shut to you eternally. If you were to shut your eyes in death, lost in your sins, you would wake up immediately and lift up your eyes in a devil's hell, and then it will be too late. When the rich man in Luke chapter 16 died and lift up his eyes in hell, he realized there was a great goal fixed around it so that he could not pass through it. It is inescapable. There's nothing you can do after you die in your sins. Are you listening this morning? You may not like this preaching, but the people in hell would want you to hear it. The rich man cried and said, "I have five brothers. Can somebody tell them?" And he said, "If they will not believe the prophets and Moses, though one rose from the dead, they would not believe." The people in hell would want you to know of its existence, that it's too late once you go there to turn back. It's not a place of temporary punishment or purgatory, but a place of everlasting punishment and hopelessness. The rich man didn't want to go. He didn't want his brothers to go. This is a place. There is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There are people in hell that would cry out to God and wail with all of their might. And if they were in our midst today, the earth beneath us would shake because of how loud they would cry out with all their might. But it's too late. It's too late when you die in your sins. It's too late. I wonder how much they wish that they could go back, but they can't. They died in their sins. What a hopeless thing indeed to do that. Let me ask you a question. You've got everybody fooled over your profession of faith. You said that you got saved to keep your parents off of you or just to fit in, and you think that that's going to do you in. Do you realize salvation's not just about that? It's not just about making your parents happy. Ye shall die in your sins if you're not truly saved. Number one, what a hopeless thing. Number two, I want you to see what a pointless thing. What a needless thing to die in your sins. You don't have to. You don't have to die in your sins. Look in verse 24. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The truth of the matter is they did not have to go to hell. They did not have to die in their sins. In fact, salvation was standing right in front of them. Christ has already taken your wrath. He's already bore your cross. He's already taken your hell. And what a tragedy to go there in spite of that. What a tragedy to die of cancer when the miracle cure for cancer has been laid in your lap. And what a travesty to die in your sins when the gospel, the good news of Christ, has been laid before you. You hear me? You don't have to go. I want you to know that I'm saved today. That means that I've accepted Christ. That means that I've repented of my sins and turned from them and called Him and asked Him to save me. And I want you to know that I am not afraid to die. I'm going to die, but I'm not afraid to die. Because in Psalms 116, He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm not afraid to die because I'm not going to die in my sins, but I'll die in the Lord, to the Lord. And to Him I will go. What a needless thing to die in your sins when you don't have to. I think of that song, Are You Afraid to Die? Seek Him while He can be found. Have you thought about that? I want you to notice number three. How hopeless to die in your sins. How pointless, how needless. Number three, how dismissed these words were. Look in verse 59 of the chapter. He said these words to try and wake them up. But they wouldn't be woken up. It says, then took they up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. These words went in one ear and out the other. They were utterly and completely dismissed. Although I don't see any stones in anybody's hands, there are people down through the ages that have heard the warning of the Word of God and they have dismissed it. It's went in one ear and out the other. And if I can warn you of anything today, simply is this, do not dismiss these words. Friend, if you will not accept Christ this morning, are you listening? I want you to understand that if you will not accept Him this morning, then you are making the decision to leave here today with the risk of dying in your sins. I want to ask you, is that okay with you? Dear soul, do you not see that at this very moment, your eternity is up in the air for you? Do you understand that you at this very moment are swinging over hell by a thread? And at any time, that thread may break, snap, and you will die in your sins. Now, I'm going to ask you today, I don't pull and prime for an invitation. But I want you to understand, and I want to ask you this, are you willing to risk all that by leaving here having not accepted Christ? This is what you call hellfire and brimstone preaching. This is what a lot of people don't like. And I don't like preaching it either because it's hard. But it's the truth. And you need to understand this. Whenever we stand before God, if you won't accept Him, then I will be clear from the blood of your life because I've told you today. You think this is harsh? If I could show you hell this morning, I would. Because it's real. Christian, what are we doing? Aren't you glad you don't have to go? What about everybody else? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Everybody being just as quiet as they can be. No moving around, stirring around. We're going to have a song of invitation as we usually do. I want to ask you this morning, if you're here and you say, Revis, I'm not saved, and you'd like to just raise up your hand and acknowledge that. No one else is looking. And I'm not even going to say anything to you. I'm not going to call you out if you raise your hand, but I will pray for you. And I'm asking you to raise your hand to be honest with me and be honest with God. Say, Revis, I'm not saved. Is there anybody that raises up that hand? Say, Revis, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Anybody at all? I remember before I got saved, it was a very hard thing to raise my hand. I see that little hand. I didn't want anybody to know. But the truth of the matter is, it didn't really matter who knew or didn't know, because God knew. So don't be embarrassed. I want to give you one more opportunity. If you want to raise your hand and say, Revis, I'm not saved, please pray for me. If you're here and you say, Revis, I am saved, but I need to be a testimony to people in my life that aren't. I want you to remember me as eyewitness. You'd like to raise up your hand and say, pray for me. I see all these hands across the building. Anybody else? Would you come to these altars? Would we pray? Pray for the lost this morning. Father, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we don't have to die in our sins. We don't have to. You've made a way of escape. May we see that way and walk in it. Lord, I pray for those that are lost. Lord, give them another chance. Lord, if they're leaving here today, accepting the risk, Lord, would you be merciful enough to give them a little more time? Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to keep your heads bowed for just a moment as they begin to play, Brother David sings. Do you need to come this morning? Would you come? Sufficient. One of my other favorite verses in this chapter, John chapter number 8, there in verse number 30, He said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. And that discourse, after he said those harsh words, many believed on him. And he said, ye shall know the truth, in verse 32, and the truth shall make